we welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
It's good to have good folks around. Amen. Good quality. That's what I'm going to talk about today a little bit. But amen. Let's get into this. AdamandBeliever.com/. Look at somebody say, hindering the help. You know you can hinder the help. Look at somebody and say, we are the help. We're all the help. We are here getting the word, getting the truth, getting the understanding for these end times because we are to go out and help. Amen. You can't come to me and complain about how your mama, daddy, a sister, brother is acting and they're not members here, but you are. So I expect you to be the help. You got the information. You learn it. You are advanced in kingdom affairs. So you need to know how to handle people. Amen. You can't be the problem. You're in here to become the solution. Oh, I wish I could get some amens on this. You're the solution. So I'm holding you to a higher standard. So don't come complaining to me. They just won't. Well, you got to figure that out. You have enough information that you are getting Sunday after Sunday, all the podcasts, all the downloads, the True Church Perspective. It's 500 sermons on there. You got all the information you need to be the help. But if you get in your feelings and in your emotions, you're going to hinder the help. I said that last week, I think in the darkness message, that these folks, they can't help anyone because they want to be the people they're trying to help. If you want to be a superstar, you can't help a superstar. And the same in here, we have to be the help. Look at somebody and say, grow up. Grow up. It's time, y'all. We at the end. Y'all believe it's the end times? Yes. It's the end time. This is it. This is it. There's no letter after Z. They named this generation, Generation Z. You know what that means? That means they know something. You know what they say comes after Z? Alpha. That don't even sound human. So we gotta be the help. So we can't keep hindering the help. We have to put ourselves in position to help. Amen. Look at somebody else and say, just get over it. Whoever hurt your feelings, whoever made you mad, whoever did something you didn't like, get over it. Get over it. I'm not just talking about in your family. I'm talking about in here too. Just get over that. Let that go. They were showing Rush Hour the other day on TV. And somebody sent me a clip of the little message they have at the beginning of Rush Hour. We know y'all love the 90s. But things are said in this movie and done in this movie that are outdated and we don't. It's the old school language, so please don't be offended. You got a whole caption. You know why that caption is there now? Because everyone is harboring an offense. If you harboring an offense, you're going to take it out on anybody. Anyone that get in your crosshairs. Because you harboring a problem. You have a problem. Look at somebody and say, let it go. Say it like I said it. Let it go. Like an old mass choir rehearsal. Let it go, man. You got to be the help. You have to be the help. You can't hinder. All right. God gave us earthly relationships to model our relationship with him. This is why he wants us dependable and loving to those around us, because that's how he is with us. So don't come telling me you saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, all day you haven't sinned and all of this, and then you got a problem with somebody. Your earthly relationship was put here to model your relationship with God, to teach you how to relate to God. You relate to your earthly father so you know how to relate to a heavenly father. Your earthly father is the first provision you're supposed to have. You don't come out the womb and God is physically providing for you. He's providing for you through your earthly father. Amen. Now, in situations where you didn't have that, then you got to get extra. You got to go figure out how that works, because that's important. Your earthly relationship is important. Listen, y'all, you can't be saved by yourself. God is not going to allow you to lock up in your house and just seek him and not deal with nobody. There's some things he's not going to tell you. You're going to have to hear from somebody else, because he's going to honor his order. Do I have to preach this every week? You know why I say it every week? Because some of y'all ain't listening. This is not just about you. This is about how you relate to others. Ministry is not just about you. It's about how you relate to others. If you want to be effective in helping somebody, then you got to be effective in treating people right. Philippians 2 and 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of what?
Others.
Of others. Then he sums it up by saying, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Before Jesus got here, God was talking to people. He's talking to people through the angels. I believe the angel of the Lord was Jesus in another form showing up in the Old Testament. Yes. All that was happening, but he still came. He came to form earthly relationships. Human relationships. God could have just said, sacrifice is paid, everything's good. He could have just spoke it into existence. But he did it to show us how to relate to one another. Amen. You know, as this church grows and folks are coming, I want people to understand earthly relationships mean a lot to the Lord. So don't come here to get away from your mama and your daddy and your crazy family. If you do that, you're going to find crazy family in here. Because the problem wasn't solved. You don't get away. Amen. I'm offended that you're offended by me taking offense at your offensiveness. That's somebody in here. That's somebody. And after all that, just ask, so what you really mad at? A person that holds grudges or offenses toward others hinder their ability to help people. To stay poised to help others, we must keep a forgiving and loving heart towards God's people. You never know what somebody gonna walk up on you and say. You don't know what could happen in your own house. You gotta be ready. You gotta be ready to touch God. So you can't walk around unready. You can't walk around with hatred and malice and different things in your heart, and you got to touch God. Yeah, you walk to your house and, amen, or you pull up your account and somebody has impersonated you and took all your money. But you've been walking around bad-mouthing folks. You get before God, well, God, first of all, forgive me of all my sins. Now you've been acting a fool. You need to be able to touch God whenever, because you don't know what's going to happen. Amen. So you got to be poised to help others the same way. Amen. Demon manifest around you. You ain't got time to be trying to see if you got one. Well, before I deal with this, God, let me see. You got to be poised and ready. But if you're holding grudges or offenses, then this is going to hinder your ability to help. I want to be a helping church. We want this to be a helping church. People come here, they give us all kind of compliments. Oh, man, everybody's so nice. Everybody's so sweet. Everybody's, you know, they're sweet. And I want it to stay that way. I don't want that to just be the one-day visits. But if they stay a week, well, now, you stay about a week, bro. You stay about a month, you know, you might run into Sassy Sally and her family. Yeah, no, we want to stay poised. Mark 11:25, and when ye stand praying, do what? If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may what? Now, this scripture just told you why some of your prayers don't get answered. It just told you. Because you have aught against someone. Because you're holding something against someone. And that's why your life is at a standstill. Your prayers aren't getting answered. God's not going to let you get away with that. You know why? Because Jesus didn't hold anything against any of us. He didn't even hold it against the people that was crucified. He forgave us all. And he expects you to as well. So you can't come to the Father with something on your heart against somebody. When you stand praying, do what? If you have aught against any, so that your Father in heaven will forgive. Amen. Y'all paying attention to this? Amen. This is important. Being faithful in our earthly relationships helps us to be faithful to God. Now, when we hear the word faithful, we think about, you know, being faithful to your husband or being faithful to your wife in the sense of a spouse and all of that. But being faithful, you know, you're supposed to be faithful to your friends. You're supposed to be faithful to the members in here. You don't throw people away when they error. Amen. You don't put teeth marks in their back when they error. When they do something you don't like or do something you don't agree with, you don't bite them in the back. That's backbite. No, you got to be faithful to them. Stick it out. Well, let's work this out, man. Well, man, I really didn't like what you did. But you my guy, so I'm going to rock with you. You see what I'm saying? I didn't like that. Oh, you didn't? I'm sorry. Or y'all can have a disagreement and still. That's faithful. Now, if you grew up in a house where y'all was stabbing and shooting over the Thanksgiving table, and you come here, you got to put the shank up now. We don't handle our disagreements. Well, how about disagreement with a shank? Bro, we talk about it in here. Oh, okay, well, y'all teach me something, because that's what you was used to. But we come in here, we handle things the biblical way. Amen. With the fruits of the Spirit. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering. What is long-suffering? See, if you're faithful to your friend, you'll suffer long for them. It's long suffering. You know why I'm preaching this? Because I'm the pastor and I got to do all of this. No matter how y'all treat me, no matter what y'all say about me around your living room, around your dinner table, in your car leaving, I got to love you, communicate, get along, treat you right. I have to, because God wants me to. But guess what? I want to. I don't want this job if I'm mad at everybody. I don't want to walk around, gotta go to this church again. I want to look forward to coming in here and seeing y'all. Amen. And you ought to be the same. It introducing all these offenses to your children. Children shouldn't know who you getting along with and who you don't like. Then they grow up, they won't listen to anybody in here. You got to be faithful. Look at somebody and say faithful. Faithful to your friends. Faithful to the members, those that you call brother and sister. I'm going to be faithful. That don't mean we always agree, Don Juan. That don't mean we always agree. But I'm going to be faithful. Me and Don Juan, we are not going to agree about LeBron James. No matter what he says, we're not going to agree, but that's my dude, man. I'm not going to bite him in the back over that. You see what I'm saying? That's my guy. Like, we cool. We don't have to agree. See, let me tell you, social media and this internet, it's making it to where when you don't agree with something, you voice that opinion immediately with comments. So as soon as you read it, you don't like it, you jump in the comments and let them know. Everybody don't need to know how you feel about everything. Because then you start doing that in person. Let me give y'all this testimony. You know, we had these hardcore pastors when I was growing up. They didn't really care what you thought. They spoke for God, and in many times they thought they might be him. I mean, they carried his authority, and you didn't question it. You didn't question it at all. So I remember one time I was at this church. I was under this pastor, and I was on the organ playing. And he walked up to me in the middle of service. Well, it wasn't the middle of service. Service was about to begin. He walked to me and walked up, and he said, "Craig, where's my cassette deck?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "Well, you got keys." I said, "Yeah, but I ain't going in there and get the cassette." "Well, you trying to build a studio. So I just figured you the one got it." It's the pastor. Now I'm getting ready to open up the service. So you know I'm thinking in my mind, I'm finna play the Monster Mash. I'm finna mess this service. That's not my first thought. And he was like, "So you don't have it?" I said, "I told you I don't have it." "All right." And he walked off. "All right, everybody, lift your hands. It's time to praise the Lord." I'm just like, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Do your job." So I opened up the service, played the service, all that. He never apologized for that. Like, never apologized for it. But I let it go. Because this man, he taught me too much. I love him too much. I just let it go. And I literally thought about this when I was preparing this message. And this is the first time I've thought about it since that happened some 20-something years ago. Because I just let it go. Now, what if I had decided to hold that grudge? Like, how dare you? Went and got my daddy. Went and got folks involved. Start telling folks. I could have just made it real nasty. Sat everybody around and, "Oh, you know what the pastor did and all this." And then I'm going to become a pastor one day. I didn't know it. I didn't know I was going to become a pastor one day. But what if I had done that? What if I had got in my feelings and let that bother me? I decided to let it go and never think about it again. Because I thought about all the things I've gotten from him. How he gave me a job when I didn't have no money. You know what I mean? So I start thinking about those things and I just let it go. Look at somebody. Shoot. Well, I would have had some words. Yeah, that's what people do now. You don't even understand what it means to take wrong. Like the Bible says. Or, I don't know what he just came. Now that I'm a pastor, ain't no telling what he just walked out of in that office in the back. Ain't no telling what he just went through. Amen. And I was on auto. I didn't have to call anybody. Sometimes you might have to call somebody and let them tell you, "Hey, man, let that go. Let that go." But I used to get calls from Detroit all the time from Jay Bryan. Didn't I? No, he don't mind me telling this. This was his growing process. I said, "Jay, stay there. Don't say nothing. Just do that. do that. Just do it. You had an old school church with an old school pastor. It just you need to do it. And he did it. Stuck it out. And that's what you got to do. And you can't hold grudges or look at people funny, because God might use that person to give you something vital to your progress. Vital. That same person. You'll need them for they need you. Amen. Folk in here tell you one little thing. Hey, sister, can you pick that up? Pick that up. I ain't drop it. Yeah, I ain't in position. You mad about a position you didn't get at the third church you was at back in the day. But that's what I'm saying. Y'all got to think about these things, man. You got to be faithful in your earthly relationships. Matthew 25:45 says, "Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me." So God is saying that the way you treating people, you're going to be judged for treating God that way. Because I was working through that person, is what God is saying. Because God's hand was on that person, what you said about him, what you did to him, you did to God. Because that was your help and you hindered it. I know I'm preaching in here. Amen. Amen. Jay Bryan, I'm going to call his name one more time. Boy, he hit us with some bombs last week, didn't he? Amen. There's dead bodies everywhere. Just hair, teeth on the floor, everything. But we needed it. Now you got to be able to hear that and say, you know what? I received the word. And I'm going to go make some changes. That's how you have to be. But if you go home, gather your kids together. See, pastor don't know about that. Jay, he did that. Mm-hmm. Well, when they go to jail, get pregnant, or just leave church altogether, call us. We'll still be here. And we'll still help you. But all you have to do was listen. Oh, a few hand claps on that. Amen. Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. God desires to put us in better positions. That's his desire, for all of us to do well. But he uses the way we treat those around us to prove how faithful we can be. So he's tested us through our relationships to see if we deserve to be in a better position. Why would God elevate you and you already stepping in folks' necks? Why would he elevate you and you can't keep your mouth off nobody? Why would he elevate you and you already think you special? He gonna let you have that. You special, you do it. Matthew 25:23, his Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over what? A few things. And I will make thee ruler over many things." You know what that tells me? That we got to be faithful in these few things. Amen. Amen, church. Pastor, how can I help? What can I do? How can I help out? You know, folks will be like that for a while. Then when their lives start settling in and God start blessing them, you know, you can't reach them now. They don't help like they used to. That's okay. One day you're going to realize that your blessings were associated with the help that you did for the ministry. Y'all think we just in a building here? You don't think that because you come. You come because you believe this is God's church. If you believe it's God's church, then you better know there's a blessing in you helping. Can I keep preaching in here? It's sounding great to me. Yeah, this fist is through the whole message, because that's somebody in here. Your fist getting tight right now. You can't even hold your Bible. You just angry, irony. How we treat one another is how God measures our reliability. Ministry is all about loving our neighbor as ourselves. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, what's the rest? Okay. Ye which are spiritual. Well, this tells us who's spiritual. The unspiritual person would just talk about him, make fun of him, laugh about it. But the spiritual person will restore such a one and then restore him in a meek spirit, thinking of themselves. Man, I remember when I was, you know. We all need grace and mercy. Who needs grace and mercy? We all need grace and mercy, so God must trust that we will give the same mercy we desire from him. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass thee against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him. Not between Facebook and Instagram. Not between Sally Walker and Sunshine Susie. Them the church gossips. Every church has a gossip. Every church. It's a position. I almost think they fill an application out. What you coming for, sister? Well, you know, I just sit around and watch. She always look like that, too. That's that watching neck. That periscope neck. It just rise up. Yeah. But you're not supposed to, man, you're supposed to go to them and them. Could you imagine the peace? Now, don't even think about ABC, your family. Could you imagine the peace in your family if everyone just talked about their problems one-on-one with the person they have a problem with? What would happen to that family? It would be revolutionized. Y'all would get to the mashed potatoes, the dressing, and the turkey. You can't get past the yams at the table because somebody got a problem with what somebody told somebody. I have learned I don't get mad, angry, or nothing when somebody come tell me that somebody said something. Man, I'm not letting you do that to me. Pastor, they said, who is they? I mean, I ain't trying to call no name. Then get out of my face. You better call a name and let me know, and then me and you are going to them. Don't come to me with that. So-and-so said, who is so-and-so? What is a so-and-so? Get out of my face. Let's go together. Let's go find out. Because I want to save this brother. I want to be mad at him. I don't want to be mad at this sister. Let's go find out what really was said. Well, I don't want to get involved. I wouldn't feel this way if you had come to me. Like the only reason my heart is beating faster is because I'm involved. You got me involved. You came to me but didn't want to get me involved. That's a devil. Yeah, I don't want to say nothing. Then don't. I ain't trying to stop. Don't. Man, if we did these things, boy, it'll be a better place. Amen. When our desire, now this is some folk problem, is to see others fail or fall, that's the problem. You want to see others fall because you fail. You fail, folk didn't do you right, so you waiting on somebody to fall to pay them back for the way they did you. But when our desire is to see people fail or fall, then we are reprobate in our thinking and we will receive punishment instead of promotion. Yeah, when you want to see somebody fall, you're going to get punishment and not promotion. God ain't promote nobody that likes failure. Proverbs said, whoever mocketh the poor reproaches his maker, and he that is glad at disaster, glad at calamities, shall not be unpunished. You will get yours waiting on somebody to get theirs. I promise. You probably already got it. Amen. I don't want to see nobody in trouble. If we cannot love those around us or be faithful to them, then God will not trust us to be elevated or placed in positions of power. Amen? We know that we have passed from death into light, 1 John 3:14, because we love the brethren, and he that loveth not his brother abideth in what? Death. Summary! Yes, quick message. It don't take long. It was great, though. You needed this. Look at somebody and say, I needed this. God's helpers. How many of y'all are God's helper? Who's Satan's helper? Raise your hand. Security. Well, every now and then, Pastor, I dibble and dabble on the other side. That's the side you can't dibble in. You get on that side, you have to stay. God's helpers are not perfect. How many of you are helpers and you're perfect? No. God's helpers are not perfect. Sometimes, look at the things we do sometimes as helpers. And I wrote these as a pastor. These are the things I do sometimes as a pastor. Sometimes I wrongly accuse, just like that pastor came and wrongly accused me. I do that. That's why I can't hold that against him, because I've done that before. Went to the wrong person about the wrong thing. Thought they did it, thought they, whatever. Wrongly accused, wrongly judged. Should have judged in favor of the other person, but I didn't. Made that mistake before. I even wrongly appoint people. Shouldn't even gave them a position. Because I liked them, I did. Or we wrongly demote. Shouldn't have took them out of position. Done that before. God had to rest my heart. I had to fix it, talk to him, got to repair it. Because I'm a human. Anybody human in here? So all of this, we're not perfect. However, a trustworthy servant can admit error and rectify it. Go fix it. Amen. And then those that are injured by it, if they are mature, then they can forgive and move on as well with continued honor for the authorities. So when an authority makes a mistake, makes an error, whatever, you don't stop believing that they are an authority. Start tearing them up and talking, putting them down. You trashing them because they did something you didn't like, or they may have done something wrong and they need to apologize for it or get it fixed. But if they never, sometimes they did it and they didn't think about it again. I believe the pastor I'm talking about, he didn't even think about that again. And I was mature enough to where I didn't have to bring it up again. I let that go that day. Yeah. I'm not thinking, man, I'm not going to sit around and be angry over that. He probably had his mind on 100 other things. No, I demand justice. Okay, justice. You really want justice. You won't just do, really. You really want what you deserve. That's what you're saying. That's what justice is. You want what you deserve. I don't want what I deserve. I don't want no justice. Give me mercy. Lord, have mercy. Like the old folks say, have mercy. Have mercy. It's one word, have mercy. No V and an E in it. Have mercy. Our humanness does not disqualify us from the call and purpose God has for us. We are made, well, he made us and called us based upon who we are, knowing that we will get things wrong at times. You don't think God knew that about you? He knew that about all of us. Yet, he will continue to trust us if we continue to overcome our human emotions and walk in what? Not just love, obedient love toward one another. God judges us by our what? He judge you by how you acting. Your life is a reflection of your behavior. You can talk a good game, but game talk don't last long. What's happening around you is happening because of your behavior. Y'all believe that? Yeah. The way we treat others is exactly how God sees us. You see, there are many that seek God for things, but they constantly hurt others and damage relationships with people that can actually help them. They hinder help. When we carry negative thoughts toward the people that God is using to help us, then we cannot be helped by them. This puts us in position to what? Fail, because we rejected the very help that God sent to us. Those that God sent to help us will only succeed if we are what? Open to their help and treat them accordingly. Treat people right, and what's going to happen? Let's say that again. Treat people right, and what? Life will treat you better. This was a good message. Y'all enjoy it. This story right here is a perfect illustration. It's a great story, too. This is Abraham with Sarah. Now, Sarah must have been all kinds of fine. She must have been the most pretty girl ever. Because Abraham told her before they even start going anywhere, you tell everybody you my sister. Because when they see your beauty, they're going to kill me. He did. He told her that. When they get one good look at you, they're going to kill me. So you tell them you my sister. So this is, I think, the second time Abraham. The first time was King Pharaoh. This is the second time with the Philistine king, Abimelech, which Abimelech is like Pharaoh. So there's a lot of guys named Abimelech because it's, theologians believe it's like a title for king, for the king of Philistia. So Genesis 22 starts off, Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she's my sister. And Abimelech the king was like, well, she looking good. So he took her. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man. You're dead. You're just dead. Dead. For the woman which thou hast taken, she is a man's wife. She's not just any man's wife. She's the father of all nations' wife. That means all the nations are coming out of her. You ain't finna mess this up. You're dead. Amen. Abimelech, you know, this is a Philistine. They ain't even, you know. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, you gonna just kill me and I haven't done anything? He told me she's his sister. I mean, you know, I'm saying that first. He says she's my sister, and then she even said he's my brother. So integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands, have I done this? I wasn't trying to do nothing. She just looked good, and she wasn't with nobody as far as what they told me. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didn't in the integrity of the heart. And then he said, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. I wouldn't even let you touch her. That feeling you had to not even touch her, that was for me. So I had to protect the whole nation. Somebody, what? Yeah, God does whatever. Look at somebody say, he does whatever he wants to do. I hate when people start trying to, well, see, God, boy, God will do whatever. He jumped in his heart and said, don't touch her. He didn't even know where it came from. Like, you ain't gonna mess with Abraham's wife. You will mess up a whole lot. Yeah, so I didn't even let you touch her. Now, therefore, restore, give him back his wife. Now, watch this. Now, Abraham done caused all these problems. because he just didn't tell the truth, the whole truth, which is still a lie. But God said, give him back his wife because he's my what? He's a prophet. And he shall what? That thou shalt live. Okay, wait, wait, wait. See, y'all don't even get it. Abraham is still Abraham. He made a mistake. He got scared. Lied a little bit. Got this man all hemmed up. I took a scripture out of here. They said the whole nation was scared. Everybody was scared. I mean, Abraham done messed all the Philistines up. Everybody just scared. But he's still a prophet. And only his prayer is going to work in this situation. Y'all better, boy, better listen. He says, so give him his wife. He's a prophet. He's going to pray for thee that you will live. Meaning God is still about to kill you. I'm still going to kill you. God's like, because I don't care. I do whatever I want to do. So you better get Abraham to pray for you so I don't kill you. He said, I'll kill you if you don't restore her not, or if you don't give her back. Now thou, that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. So not only are you going to die, everything that's yours it will die if you don't get this prayer from this prophet. So Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sowest thou, man? Why you do this? Why did you do this? Abraham, see, what had happened was, I thought surely that y'all was a bunch of heathens and y'all didn't care about God and y'all was going to slay me to get my woman. That's what he's saying. He's like, all right, so I took it upon myself. But see, she is indeed my sister because she is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And you know, Abimelech probably looking at him like, bro, I don't care about none of that. I really don't. I don't want to hear any of that. See, she really is my sister if you look at it from the right angle. Because she's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said unto her that this is thy kindness that thou shalt show unto me at every place whether ye shall go. And Abimelech waiting on the prayer like, dude, will you pray for me? Come on, I don't want to hear this. But here's the thing. Watch this. Abimelech took sheep, oxen, men servants, and woman servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him his wife. So he didn't just give him his wife back. He put more with it. Yes. I'm going to honor God through this man. This man almost got me killed. I don't even have no problem with that part. I just want to please God. Yes. I'm Abimelech. I'm king of the Philistines. So I could just really mess up some stuff, but I'm not. I'm going to do what God said, and I'm going to add to it. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee. You can live anywhere you want on it. So I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to give you the animal, whatever you want. Then unto Sarah, he said, behold, I've given thee thy brothers. And I love this part. He said, I've given thy what?
Brother.
So he went with it too. Hey, that's what Abraham calling himself these days. I went with you. I've given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all others. Thus she was reproved. So he's like, I'm fixing this. I ain't got no grudge against this man of God because he's a prophet. And I need this man to pray for me. Because only his prayer is going to work according to God. So Abraham prayed unto God. And watch this. And God did what?
Healed him.
God still followed the order of the one he had called, prayed for him, and got healed. I know I am. Thank you. I need encouragement because some folks, man, you all ornery and upset and just gossiping, talking bad about the person that can help you. The person God wants to pray for you, the person God wants to advise you. You carrying grudges because of something they did. Man, what if Abimelech had carried a grudge? He let this go quick because he wanted that prayer. And after Abraham prayed, God healed him, then healed his wife and all the maidservants, and then they were able to bear children. Bear children? Yes, because the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah. See, God is so big when he do stuff, so he closed Sarah up so it doesn't happen with Abimelech, everything closed. He closed the whole town down. He shut it down. Man, God is awesome. Yeah, he shut it all down because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Everyone stand to your feet. So, how many helpers we got? Who's helpers? All right. Well, we don't want to be a hindrance to the help God has for us. Amen? So I'm not calling anybody up because there's too many hands. We're going to pray that we continue, all of us, being the help we need and that we take heed to this message we just received so that we don't hinder the hand of God. We don't want to hinder what God wants to do with us. With you, your wife, your husband, your family, your children, what God wants to do. You don't want to hinder that carrying a grudge. You don't want to hinder that having an offense. You don't want to hinder that coming against the message, the preach word, the man of God, coming against the man of God's family. Because that's what this situation was about, the man of God's family, his wife. We don't want to do that. We want to stay in position to be helped. Amen? Everyone bow your heads. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this message. Though it was short, it was effective. We thank you, God, for the truth of your word, and we want to model it. We want to model this, God. We want to let go of offenses and grudges and hatred and malice and things we feel, things that happened to us, somebody said, somebody saw. We may have seen something and didn't see it right. Whatever's in our hearts, God, free us from it right now. Free us from it so that we will be in position to be help in the time of need. And help us to not hinder the help that you've surrounded us with, the people, the words, the messages, the sermons, the members, the brothers and sisters, the church, all that you've surrounded us with to help us, God. Help us to not be that person that looks down on it and talks down on it and is argumentative and displaying negativity. But God, we want to plug into this situation so that we can be effective for you. In Jesus' name, we pray.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis, founder of EX Ministries and pastor of the Adamant Believers Council in North Richland Hills, Texas. If this message has been a blessing to you and you would like to be a financial blessing to us, please send your donation to EX Ministries, P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at exministries.com. We'll be right back.